Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Lamed Daled. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbaruch on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Hu Damal Chavrei, somebody said to someone else, my boss, Bahara, why are you on this property? Amalei, to which he responded, Menach Savinta, I bought this property from you, V'chal Shnei Chazaka, and I've been on this property for 3 years, and therefore I should be considered the owner of this property. Isachat Sada, but then he was only able to bring one aid that says the Ochla Tlashani that he was on the property for 3 years. And he wasn't able to prove his chazaka with two aidim. Sava Rabbanan Kameda Bailameima. So the Rabbanan who were discussing this question in front of Abaya wanted to suggest, Hainu, that the question that we're discussing is the question of Nascha de Rababa, which we're going to be discussing extensively in our shiur today. So the Rishonim, the Rashbam, actually gives two pshatim, how we connect the sugya of Nascha de Rababa with what we're learning now. So one pshat is that in both cases, the Rashbam's first pshat is that in both cases, the way we get to the halacha is very different, but the psak in the case that we learned now and the psak that we learned in the case of Nascha de Rababa is the same. That's why it's mentioned together. The Rashbam, many Rishonim find this pshat difficult to understand, because just because the halacha is similar in two dissimilar cases, it's not enough of a reason to say that that's why the Gemara should have, that's not enough to say that the Gemara should have connected these two halachas. And because of that, they say that the reason our Gemara is connected to the case of Nascha de Rav Abba goes back to what we discussed in our previous shiur, that if you lose it in Torah, does it also mean that you have to pay for the peiris that you ate during that time? And in the case of Nascha de Rav Abba, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to discuss that concept, and therefore the Gemara connects them, says the Rashbam. What is the story of the Nascha de Rav Abba? Somebody says the Gemara, Hu gav d'chata Nascha mechavrei. Somebody seized from someone else a piece of silver that belonged to someone else. And also kamei de Rav Ami, and the question came to Rav Ami, and says the Gemara, Hav Yosef Rav Abba kamei, and Rav Abba was sitting there, and Aisa chad sada de michtechat v'nei, the person, the victim, was able to bring one aid that this piece of silver was stolen, Amalei. So the person who grabbed that piece of silver said, in Chatfi, indeed, I was the one that took the piece of silver for the di Chatfi. And I took my own piece of silver back. And therefore, I didn't do anything wrong. So says the Gemara, Amar of Ami, when Rav Ami now faced with this question said, Hechen edayin el dina lahay dina. How are we supposed to look at this din Torah? L'shalim, to say to the person who seized this nascha that he has to pay for it because he's admitting that it's his leketre sadi. There are no two edim that could testify that it was grabbed. And even though he is admitting that he took it, but he's also saying at the same time that what he took belongs to him. Liftery, on the other hand, and therefore he has a migui. What was the migui? He could have said that he never took it altogether. Liftery, should we absolve him? Because he could have said that I didn't grab anything and this is mine all along. But there's an ikka hachat sada that the are to aid him. There is an aid that says that he took it. And the Rishonim point out, it's not enough that there should be an aid that could testify to us that saw him take it, but also what we need to have is that he's still holding on to it. there are those that say we don't have to have Edom that he's still holding on to it. So in order to understand this Gemara, there are a number of different scenarios that could happen in such a situation. You could have two Edom that say Edus, that he took something away from someone else. That, in those situations, there is no question that the person who grabbed it would have to pay, because the only way he could get away with paying is if he could definitively prove that what he took was his. In the absence of being able to do so, he's going to have to pay for what he took. If there isn't even one aid that saw him take it, so then for certain he's going to be believed when he says that what he took belonged to him. Because he certainly, as we just said, could have said that he never took anything. And if he is admitting that he took it, but it's his, he has a very strong migui. If there's one aid that says that he seized it, and there's the person who claims that he saw that he seized it, says it never happened, so then he's going to have to swear, because the halacha is that even though in halacha the Torah doesn't give an eid echad namonis to win a case, but an eid echad is mechayev a shvua. Therefore, in all of those cases, there is no question what would be the halacha. The question of our Gemara is that there is, as we just learned, one aid that's saying that he grabbed it. The person who the aid is saying took it is not denying that that happened, but he is saying that what he took belonged to him. And now the Gemara begins a question. The Gemara begins with the question, what do we do under these circumstances? What should we do under these circumstances? And as the Urim V'Tumim say, that if the Urim V'Tumim says that if he would have seized in front of two Edom, then he becomes posel Edus, because he's a ganef. And if two Edom are able to say that I saw you took something that doesn't belong to you, that person becomes a ganef, and therefore he becomes posel Edus. The Noi de Behuda does not agree with the Urim V'Tumim. He says that even though for certain, as we just said, he would have to pay back what he took, there's no argument that that's the halacha, says the Noi de Behuda, but he doesn't become a posel eid. Because since he's claiming that what he took belonged to him, to he himself, since he's claiming that what he took belonged to him, to himself, so that is enough of a reason that he should not become disqualified for being an aid. So says the Gemara, Lishtaba, what do we want him to swear? Says the Gemara, should we want him to swear that he didn't grab it? He can't say it. That's not an option, because he himself is admitting, Hamer michtve chatfa, he himself is admitting that he's took it. The kivin the amad the chatfa, once he's saying that he grabbed it, he can't swear that he didn't take it, because then it's going to be clearly that he's a liar. To swear that what he took, that yes, I took it, is but what I took is not mine, is not what I took, it belongs to me, that is a shvua that is consistent with his claim. But even though it's a shvua that's consistent with his claim, that isn't the shvua that the Torah wants him to make, that the Torah obligates him to make. The shvua that he's obligated to make is that the aid says you did something, and if he wants to counter that aid, he has to be able to say that I swear what you say is not true. Here, he can't swear that what he can't swear what he's saying is not true, because he can't swear that what the aid is saying is not true, given that actually he said that he's saying I did grab it, but he's saying that what I took was mine. So Reb Chaim Briska asks that we're learning Perek Cheskes Abatim, and Perek Cheskes Abatim teaches us that even though to establish a chazaka on a property, you need 3 years, and we're going to learn and we're going to continue learning many different rules how to establish a chazaka. Chesk by Metatlin, the halach is that komash nimtzataksi adam shaloi. Anything that I'm holding, the halach considers mine. So if this person who grabbed the naska is holding on to it, why should that not serve as enough of a chazaka that we should be able to win the din Torah? So the achrayim answer that yes, when we see somebody holding something, that establishes a chazaka. But that's only if we just see him holding something. Once there's a story attached to it, as there is in our Gemara, where there's an Eid Echad saying that we saw that you grabbed it from someone else, then just saying that we can't rely on the chazaka of Metatlin, that's everything that's yours, everything is yours is mine. Rabbi Chanan asks, why would a shvua, our Gemara is discussing that we don't know what kind of shvua can he make, or that the shvua that the Torah wants him to make is a shvua that he can't make, because he can't make a shvua that he didn't grab it. But why isn't it considered as if there are two Edom? We have the Eid Echad, and we have the person from whom he grabbed it from. So, says Rabbi Chanan, that there's a Shal Satshuvas HaRosh, that a person becomes a gazlan only after people say Eidus that he's a gazlan. But here the question is that he is not, so that makes the person who's going to say that he stole from me a negei ba'edus, and therefore he can't combine to say Eidus. But the Mordechai asks a very fundamental question. Why is this person not considered a possible aid? If we have an aid that says, the Gemara is not saying that he's possible, but why isn't he possible? Isn't he a gazlan based on the Eid Echad? So says Rav Shimon Shkop, that since that there's only one aid, and he's not disagreeing with the aid, when would we maybe have to consider him a gazlan? We would only have to consider him a gazlan if he is indeed saying that if we have reason to believe that he did something wrong. This person is not arguing with the Eid Echad. He's just saying, I had a right to do it. And that's why you don't become an Eid Echad. But the question that the Paiskim discuss, based on this Gemara, there's a discussion from many Paiskim. The Gemara is suggesting that he should have to make a shvua. The Gemara's problem is, what shvua can he make? The question is, why, if we have reason to believe that he's a gazlan, should we accept any shvua that he would make? So, and we shouldn't let him make a shvua because we should be concerned he's going to lie. Where does this come up? There's somebody came to Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal where a person was not feeling well. He wasn't in a situation, chas v'sholem, of sakana, because we know if chas v'sholem somebody's in a situation of sakana, he's allowed to do whatever he needs to do on Shabbos. He was not feeling well, and he wanted to go to a doctor. The problem is that if he was going to a religious doctor, so the doctor would only do what is permissible to be done for chol l'shem by sakana on Shabbos. But the doctor that he wanted to go to was not religious. And this doctor is going to do things on Shabbos that the halacha does not allow to be done on Shabbos. And the question is he allowed to go to that doctor? Is this a violation of Lifnei Iva Leisite Michshol? Because even if he's going to ask the doctor not to do anything that involves Chil Shabbos, doesn't mean that the doctor will listen. And even if the doctor will listen, says he's going to listen, the moment the patient sees that the doctor is not doing only things that he's allowed to do on Shabbos, the halacha should be that he should have to walk out, not allow the doctor to continue doing anything that involves Chal Shabbos. So Rav Shlomo Zalman brings our Gemara. Gemara says that in our Gemara we want him to make a shvuah. How can we ask him to make a shvuah? According to the aid that is standing here, he's possible for Edus. He's a ganef. And by us demanding, once we'll be able to determine what type of shvuah we want him to make, we're asking somebody who's not supposed to make a shvuah, he's a gazlan, to make a shvuah. So what's the halacha? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, from our Gemara we see a very important halacha. What we see from our Gemara is that the halacha tells us that we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do. If as a result of what we're doing, he may end up doing something that he's not allowed to do, that is not anymore our concern. For our concern is only that the person is supposed to do, that we have to do what we have to do. The same thing, if this patient did what he's supposed to do, he told the doctor, it's Shabbos, and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything that involves Chil Shabbos, given that I'm a Chil Shem B'Sakana, I don't have any further obligation. Amale Rab Abba, so Rab Abba said, so what is this situation? Have M'choy Shvua. We have a situation, somebody who's obligated to make a Shvua, Sheni Yochel Shava, but a person that can't make a shvua, and says the Gemara, says that Rav Abba, the halacha is we call a mechay of shvua, sheni yochel shava, wherever somebody has to make a shvua, but he can't, the halacha says, mishalim. And this is learned in the Gemara Masech the Shvuas, daf mem zayinam and aleph, from the pasuk that speaks about a chiv shvua. The Tarek Sheish says, Shvuas Hashem, tia ben shneim, im lo shalach yadu melachas mereyu. And the pasuk says ben shneim that the shvua has to be between the loiva and the malva, not with the yorshim of the malva, because the Torah is saying that what's going to be the halacha if the malva passed away, and the yorshim say, I don't know. We don't know if you still owe our father money. So the Torah says that they don't have to pay. The Yarshim of the Loiva says, we don't know. Even if the Malva says, you do have to pay, they don't have to make a Shvua. So what's going to be the Halacha, however, if the Dintar is between the Loiva and the Malva, and the Loiva says, I don't know if I owe you money, I don't know how much I owe you money. The Halacha is, since he can't make a Shvua, then he has to pay. And the Gemara of the O explains, the Yarshim are not held responsible for not knowing, because Yarshim are not obligated to know everything about their father's business affairs. So the fact that they can't make a shvua doesn't make them chayiv to pay. But a loiva is obligated to know if he paid up the person to whom he owes money. And if he can't make that shvua, then the halacha tells us the Torah, he's going to have to pay. So now the chachamim are trying to understand. So now he's going to have to pay. It's a shvua, the shvua that the Torah wants him to make, he's unable to make. And since the shvua that the Torah wants him to make, he can't make, the halacha is he's going to have to pay. The Rishonim point out that this halacha that the Gemara just taught us, that if you can't make a shvua, you have to pay, that's only in a case, which is the case of our Gemara, when we have a shvua deraisa. But in a situation where the shvua that has to be made is a shvua derabanan, there, if the person is unable to make the shvua, many Rishonim are of the opinion that he would not have to pay. The Ktzois seems to disagree, and the Ktzois agrees that you don't have to swear and you don't have to pay. He says that if the shvua derabanan was only said in a case where the Torah says to make a shvua, but where shvua derabanan, the rabbanan never obligated that you should have to make a shvua under such circumstances. That's how the Ktzois learns, and that's why the Ktzois says there may be differences between different types of shvua derabanan. By certain shvua derabanan, if you can't swear, you would have to pay, in some cases not. But going back to our Gemara. When we go back to our Gemara, he can't swear, and now the Gemara says he has to pay. But now the question is, what does he have to pay for? That regarding an our Gemara, where there's an eight echad that says that he ate from that property. So the halacha clearly is, if there were two Edom, he would have to, if he had two Edom backing up his chazaka, then he wins. If he has no Edom, he would have to give back the property. And as we discussed, he would have to give back the Paris. But now there's only one aid. So he would have to swear to deny what this one aid is saying. But he's unable to do so because he said that he ate. The only thing that he said was that I ate, but it was mine. If he wouldn't have said anything, he would have been much better off. But since he said, because then he could have sworn that he didn't eat. But here, and he wouldn't even have to swear because Einish Bon Al Kakos. But here, the aid says you did eat. He said that the aid says he only has one aid that backs him up, so he has to make a shvua, but he can't swear. What should he do? He's just saying that it's his, and the aid says he only has one aid to back him up. Amar Abaya says, Abaya, how do you compare the two situations? Me dummy. Hasam sadi lerosakasi. Why was the aid echad saying? The aid echad is saying that he grabbed the naska. So what is that aid is doing? What that aid is doing is that it's putting him into a bad place, that he stole something. And in fact, if ki asa aid achrina bahadei, if there was another aid that would say that he grabbed the naska, so as we said earlier in the shir, not only could he not prevail in such a din taira, he wouldn't even make a shvua. We would just take it away from him because there are two Edom that are saying that he's a ganef. But in our Gemara, where he only was able to bring one aid to back up his chazaka, so the aid that he brought is insufficient. But the aid that he brought is l'siyui ka'asa. It's backing up his claim. So, and the proof being, if he was successful in finding another aid that he was on this property with the years of a chazaka, he would win the din Torah. So how do we compare? So yes, he only has one aid, and therefore, since he only has one aid, the property will revert back to the Marakama. The property will revert back to the original owner, but he shouldn't have to pay for the payris, because according to his testimony, what he's eating belongs to him. And therefore, he shouldn't have to pay. That's the way he shouldn't have to pay for the payris. He would have to give back the property, but he shouldn't have to pay back the payris. That's the way the Rosh learns the Gemara. The Ritva says that the halacha that we just learned, that an eid echad makes you pay, is only in a case where if you can't swear, that's the Gemara said, any yochel is shavim mishalim. That rule was only said if two Edom would make you pay without any question. Here the two Edom, if there were two Edom, would not make you pay. On the contrary, they would have him keep the property. And therefore, the halacha, that any yochel is shavim mishalim, is not going to be a valid claim. What would be the case that Rab Abba, what would be comparable? L'chat Sadi, where the person who was on the property did not have any Edom on Chazaka. The only thing that he had is an aid that said that I saw him eat the pears for 2 years. So since on the Achilles Paris, if there were no Edom, he would have to swear and be absolved. Why would he swear and be absolved? Because he has a migui that he could say, I didn't eat. If two Edom said that he ate the Paris, he would have to pay. When there's eight Echod, that says you ate the peiris. How would he? How do you counteract an eid echad? The way you counteract an eid echad, we're learning in our shiurim, is by counter swearing to what he's saying. If you can't counter swear to what he's swearing, which is very much the case of our Gemara, because he's saying that I had a right to eat, that's when the halacha is that he would have to pay. So it seems that according to Abaya, this is the halacha is like Abaya, like Rav Abba. The Rishonim find this difficult because the Gemara Masechta Shavuos, Daf Mem Zayin, says that Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rav Abba, and they say that we apply here the halacha of Motzi Mechavera Olav Araya, and you can't make me pay. But yet, it seems that the opinion of most Rishonim is that we do follow the opinion, we do follow the opinion of Rav Abba. Here we say, we just learned the halacha, if somebody swears, and the Gemara was very concerned, as we learned earlier, that we should not have a situation where somebody swears falsely. The question was that an aide came and saw that Reuven stole a chicken from somebody else and that he slaughtered that chicken. And now he swears that it didn't happen. So as we've been learning in our shir, we have that Eidus, that shvua is a very problematic shvua. The reason that that shvua is a very problematic shvua is because there's an eid echad that says that you're a ganef. So when you swear that you didn't take it, you're going contrary to what the eid echad says. So the issue that Cheshuki Chemet says asks, will we be allowed to eat that chicken? Does this prove that this person is a apostle and therefore we're not allowed to eat from a shechita? He says it's a machloikis harishonim. Says that he says according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would not be allowed to eat that from that chicken. He says according to the Ramah and the Yamsha Shloima, you would be allowed to eat from that chicken. He says the Marhu Avra Davimintel Betray, there was a boat that two people were arguing over. One person said, this boat belongs to me. And the other person said, the boat belongs to me. So one of them came to Bezdin. And he told Dayanim, please grab the boat and hold on to the boat until we are able to resolve what is the status. Adam is sinicide the dihu until I'm able to bring Adam that the boat truly belongs to me. So the question is, the Bezdin is asking this question. Tafsinin or loy tafsinin? What should Bezdin do? Should Bezdin seize the boat or not? Rav Huna amar tafsinin, they should. Rav Yehuda amar loy tafsinin, they don't. They should not. They should leave it where it is. And the reason Rav Yehuda says that is that because Bezdin, once they seize it, the person, they're not going to be able to let go until they can prove it. And therefore, Rav Huna holds that best is, since we don't see a way out of this case, just let to get involved. Rav Yehuda says, since we don't see a way out, don't get involved. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. Rav Huna says, no, Bezdin has an obligation to hold on to take it until we could come to clarity, leave it that way. Also, so says the Gemara, so the Bezdin grabbed it, and they weren't able to find Edom, and now they're stuck with this boat. Amalahu, so says the Gemara, they said to the Bezdin, Afkua, give the boat away, because, and why will be the halacha now? Kol dalam gevar. The Gemara now introduces a very important concept. And the concept here is kol dalam gevar. There's a very, very fundamental machloikus rishonim, how to understand the concept of kol dalam gevar. The Rosh's opinion is that kol dalam gevar is that the truth always emerges. And when we have here this machloikus, the truth will emerge because the person who really owns the boat is going to be the person that's going to get is going to be the one that will fight for the boat. And therefore, the halacha is amalefkur and called the amugvar or mafkinan, and says who. So the question is mafkinan or loy mafkinan. Rav Yehuda amar loy mafkinan. Rav Yehuda says we shouldn't give up the boat. Rav Papa amar mafkinan, we should give up since Beis Din doesn't have what to do. Vilchasa, and says the Gemara loy tafsinan. If we don't see a way out, we shouldn't get involved. But once we want, but once the Hilchasa, the halacha is loy mafkinan, we shouldn't grab it. Rav Papa amar mafkinan, we do give it up. The Hilchasa loy tafsinan, we shouldn't have grabbed it. But Hecha the toughest. But in a case where I grabbed it, which Beis Din shouldn't have done, loy mafkinan, they shouldn't let go. And the Meiri says that even if the both parties come to Beis Din and say, you holding on to the boat doesn't accomplish anything, so the question is, what should we do? Says the Meiri, still, once the Gemara says that if Beis Din took it, they shouldn't let go, so even though both parties are saying, well, if you can't figure out what to do, let's just let go and we'll figure it out ourselves, the halacha is that no, you can't just tell Beis Din kol da'om gvar. So he said that the Rosh says that the explanation of kol da'om gvar is that the stronger person, the person that really owns it, is ultimately going to prevail. There are other Rishonim say that called, so essentially what kol da'om gvar, according to those Rishonim, that's the Rosh, says is that kol da'om gvar is a psak. There's a psak in such a situation. How do we paskin? Kol da'om gvar is a psak. Many Rishonim disagree. And many Rishonim say that what kol da'om gvar means that Beis Din walks away. What it means is that Beis Din just withdraws from this case because they don't know what to do. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that if we're going to say kol da'om gvar, will this be a never-ending battle? According to the Rosh, it seems that kol da'om gvar, they keep on fighting until they figure out, today I'm stronger, so I'll have it. Tomorrow you're stronger, you'll have it. And that's so if we say that Beis Din just withdraws and kol da'om gvar, so once kol da'om gvar happens, it happens. If we say, however, kol da'om gvar is every day whoever stronger wins, this will be something that will never, that will. So the question, if it's a psak Beis Din, so once Beis Din paskins and once you were kol da'om gvar, so then it's yours. If it's just Beis Din walked away and now you fight, so they can continue fighting forever. The Ramah says that we don't say kol da'om gvar only in a case like our Gemara. What unique in our Gemara is that we say kol da'om gvar in our Gemara because it's a situation of Beis Din can't get to the bottom of it. So that's when Beis Din says kol da'om gvar. But in a case where Beis Din has the facts, but they don't know what the halacha is, by machloikis ha'poiskim, we don't say kol da'om gvar. Another question that the Rishonim discuss is the Gemara that told us that we should follow the halach of kol da'om gvar is speaking about a case of Bori and Bori. Both of us are certain that this boat belongs to me. Each one of us is claiming the boat belongs to me. What would be the halacha, discussed the Rishonim, in a case, Rabbi Kivega discusses this and collects it to the Machlokes Rishonim, where we're both Shama. We both don't know for sure. So according to the Rishonim that say Beis Din walks away and now you fight it out, so it doesn't make a difference if we're both Bori or if we're both Shema. Beis Din is doing what it has to do. What does Beis Din have to do? Walk away. But according to the Rosh that says that the person who really owns it is going to do whatever it takes to get it, so maybe that's only in a case where he's a Bori. But if he's a Shema, we don't have that svara, and therefore the halacha is we wouldn't say kol da'olam Gvar. The similar question would be, what would be the case in a case of Bari Veshema? In a case of Bari Veshema, so on one hand, I'm a Bari, on the other hand, you're only a Shema. But let's say it's going to be a case where, even though normally we say Bari Veshema, Bari Adif, here it's a situation where we don't say Bari Adif. Can we apply the concept of Kol Da'olam Gvar? The Cheshuki Chemed says, when do we say Kol Da'olam Gvar in a case that one person is a very strong person and the other person is a weak person? Will we still say Kol Da'olam Gvar? So certainly, according to the Rishonim, that Kol Da'olam Gvar represents that I'm just walking away. So what's the difference if I'm strong or weak? Dezden is walking away, and now whatever happens, happens. But if, according to the Rosh, that Kol Da'olam Gvar means that the person who really owns it is going to fight for what he owns, maybe that's only when he has an equal opponent. But when the opponent is much stronger, then maybe not. But the Cheshuki Chemed seems to say that even under such circumstances, we're going to say Kol Da'olam Gvar. And the reason he says Kol Da'olam Gvar, we say in such a situation, explains the Cheshuki Chemed, is that the Torah established, Chazal established, that the person who's the Olam is the one that, Minashamayim, is the one that deserves to win. And since Minashamayim, he's the individual that deserves to win, because that's what the psak is. It's not just the Bezdan is walking away, but rather that's the psak that called the Olam Gvar. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference how we match up these two litigants. The pasuk says, "V'yisu me'elam v'yachnu al yamsuf," which is the same wording, says the Tepuke Chaim, as the word called the Olam Gvar. Says the Gemara, "The v'yisu me'elam." When you move away from the concept of Olam, when you move away from the concept that how do you prove something? You prove something because you're stronger, says the Pasuk, than V'yachna Yamsuf. When you move away from the concept that I'm stronger and therefore I win, Koichi V'Oitzim Yadi, when you move away from the concept of the Koichi V'Oitzim Yadi, then you're able to come to Yamsuf. The others explain, I saw the Divrei Yisrael in a Sefer Klali Araisa from the Majid Tzereba, Kol Da'olam Gvar. Kol Da'olam Gvar means that whoever, Da'olam, whoever in life remains silent, the person in life who's not looking to fight, Gvar, he is the one that Gvar will ultimately win. What the Eibishter wants from us is that we should be quiet, accept whatever, that's going to be the one that's goyver, that's going to win. There was a story that they came to Chazon Ish at a certain point with a question that there was a problem that people were having with an organization that was a very powerful organization, and there's no way that we could prevail over the organization and we should give in. So the Chazon Ish said, Kol Da'olam Gvar. So everybody thought that, what did the Chazon Ish mean? That when you're faced in a situation, when you're faced with a situation where the other party is stronger than you, so then Kol Da'olam Gvar, you have to follow the party that's stronger. Says the Chazon Ish, let's remember what the Rosh said. The Rosh said, if you believe, that what is the pshat of Kol Da'olam Gvar? That if you believe in something, then that's what you should do. And that's what Kol Da'olam Gvar represents. What Kol Da'olam Gvar represents, that if I'm ready, that you know when you're going to win? You're going to win when you're ready to fight for what's right. And if you're ready to fight for what's right, then Kol Da'olam, you will be the stronger party, and Gvar, you will win.